Hello and welcome to the TA teleconference, How to Seek Funding from State Humanities Arts and Arts Councils, presented by Richard Hull. Richard served as the Executive Director for the Texas Council for the Humanities for 2 years. He has also participated in 2 successful grant applications to the Florida Council for the Humanities. He is Professor Emeritus of Philosophy at SUNY at Buffalo. He is currently in his 5th year. He is currently in his 5th year as Executive Director of the Text and Academic Authors Association. I will email all participants Richard's contact information following the teleconference, and it will also be posted with the recording. I now turn the teleconference over to Richard.
Well, thank you very much, Kim, and welcome to all of you for our teleconference today. I wanted to start out with a little bit of history about the national endowments so that you have something of the way in which the state humanities councils were conceived and created. The National Foundation on the Arts and Humanities Act of 1965 sought in the wake of John F. Kennedy's assassination and under the guidance of Lyndon Baines Johnson to enact some dimensions of Kennedy's vision shared by Johnson of the Great Society. And the aim of the two foundations, actually the foundation, but it turned out to be the two foundations, was for the humanities to achieve, transmit the achievements and values of civilization from the past via the present to the future, and for the Foundation for the Arts to make widely available the greatest achievements of art. A lot of folks are confused about the distinction between the humanities and the arts, and it can be a confusing matter. The sort of thumbnail guide that we used when I was at the Texas Council was, if you do it, it's the arts. If you talk about it, it's the humanities. I'm going to work off of a PowerPoint presentation, which should have been sent to each participant in this conference, and I welcome you to follow along with me as I go through that. What is included in the humanities? This includes language, modern and classical linguistics, literature, history, jurisprudence, philosophy, archaeology, comparative religion, ethics, art history, and theory and criticism, humanistic aspects and content of the social sciences, and applications of the humanities to the human environment. And I've given here the URL for the National Endowment for the Humanities so that you can go to that and explore that very rich website at your pleasure and leisure. What is included in the arts are the performing arts, including music, plays, and opera, graphic arts, including paintings, etchings, drawings, and so forth, the plastic arts, including sculpture and stone, metal, plastic, and fabric, the folk arts, including crafts, wood carvings, tool fabrication, and writing and reading as activities. And here is the URL for the National Endowment for the Arts. National-level projects that are conducted nationwide at the national level would include such things as exhibits, the treasures of Tutankhamun, that was put together and circulated throughout the United States. Documentaries such as Ken Burns' The Civil War. The Library of America puts together editions of novels, essays, and poems by great American writers. The U.S. Newspaper Project seeks to digitize and preserve and make available online back issues of many of the nation's newspapers. And, of course, also Pulitzer Prize-winning books are made available through grants at the national level. State humanities councils were created, and state arts councils were created in order to make the assets and the activities of the humanities and the arts more locally available. And the state humanities councils, there are actually 55 five of them, including the territories, can be accessed at the neh.gov/whoare/statecouncils.html website. This particular map that I have here isn't interactive, but when you get to the interactive map on the NEH website, you can pull up the website for your particular state or territory and find out all of the details of what that particular state humanities council supports, its ongoing programs, and its grant categories. I should emphasize that the states have a quasi-autonomy in what they support. For example, some states will support the production of documentaries, others will not. Some will support the production of such things as youth Chautauqua, in which young people study and put together presentations based upon historical figures, but others do not. So you should bear in mind that when you have a project, you may want to look abroad, and not just at your own state, but at other states. It is the case that states want the dollars spent within the borders of the state, but they can be accessed and developed by persons not within the state. The state's arts councils, for those who had signed in as of the end of last week, are here. If your arts council is not given the URL here and you're interested in seeing what your arts council does and supports, I would urge you simply to go to a search engine such as Google or one of the others and type in your state's name and then arts council and see what that leads you to. There are also many regional arts councils and intrastate arts councils specific to particular communities, so that you're certainly not limited to just the state arts councils. During this is just one kind of aside. During the Clinton administration, the Republican-controlled Congress, led by Newt Gingrich, sought in its Contract for America cut federal spending in many agencies, including the national endowments. And for a while, the funding was suspended, causing some of the state councils to furlough their staff members and mothball their operations. I went to the Texas Council shortly after this difficult period had ended, but there are some interesting spinoffs from that. Some of the councils began to seek independent funding sources from such sources as state governments, foundations, corporations, and even to build up an endowment from individual donations. So when you're applying to your state council, bear in mind the possibility, as we enter into another perhaps change in control between the dominant political parties, that there may be some restriction on federal funds, and look for those councils that have developed other funding sources. Why should you apply? Well, it seems to me that most academics in their requirements for continued employment, tenure, promotion, have a public service component. They're asked to report on the things that they have done by way of interacting with the wider community outside of the university. And it seems to me that that is a major requirement that we should all be responsive to. And seeking funding for projects through your state humanities councils is one of the ways in which you can realize that. It also enables you to respond to the expectation of bringing in grants or at least be rewarded for your efforts in that direction. So state arts and humanities council grants are an easy way to begin grant getting, particularly if you haven't done it before, and an easy way to access materials that will conduce to the public good locally. I want to take a break here and ask, are there any questions?
Richard, I just have
you need to unmute yourself with a 4-star, I believe is correct.
Richard, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, this is Molefe. We're getting ready here in Pennsylvania to have the an exhibition on Cleopatra, and actually it's coming to the Franklin Institute, and that institute is a very strong institute in the state. In fact, the exhibition on
Tutankhamun
was here, and it was, I think it was the largest public exhibition in terms of the number of people who attended in the state's history. What I'm trying to think of, and the reason I thought this would be a wonderful program, and it has already been by you giving me all this information about what I can do with the state, because I've never really applied to humanities before. But the idea is that I'm looking for some angle, you know, to present a grant to the State Council on the Humanities in regards to that particular exhibition. And I don't know whether, right now I'm not sure whether it would be sort of I was looking at the different categories, whether it would be a discussion of the theories of Cleopatra or history of Cleopatra or something like that, but that's the direction and that's the interest.
Well, I think that the next section of my presentation should help steer you in the direction. Briefly, what I would suggest is that you call the program officer or the grants officer for the State Humanities Council. You're in Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Call the program officer there and you can access that through the website and talk with that person about what you're doing, what the time frame is, and seek that person's guidance in the kinds of things that can be done. I'll talk
okay.
a little later about the sizes of the grants that you can expect from the state councils. So,
all right.
Stay tuned in.
Good suggestion. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I've got some general observations about grants from these federally funded programs. They all require at least a one-to-one match from other sources in terms of funds and in-kind services. They must be free and open to the public. They must be handicapped accessible, so you have to have them at a site that accommodates, for example, individuals who are in wheelchairs or individuals who are otherwise handicapped, need, for example, American Sign Language services. They must be given to nonprofit organizations, so you would have to apply for these grants through your academic institution or your cultural institution, your library, whatever, but not directly to yourself. And they must have clear humanities content throughout the federally funded part. Now, this applies to the humanities endowment funds. Matching funds and in-kind sources can include corporations, foundations, civic groups. It can include the normal costs of renting the site if that's donated. It can include funds from other state agencies. It can include personal donations. And it can include the waiver of the normal fees and charges by the humanities scholars that you attract to participate in your presentation. The one-to-one requirement is very minimal. It's usually exceeded. When I was at the Texas Council, we averaged about $7 of non-federal funds attracted for every dollar of federal funds. And, of course, the Congress very much likes to see that. Potential partners in your grant applications include schools, elementary, high school, and colleges, museums, libraries, other cultural institutions, including arts councils, even if you are a humanities person. In other words, you can seek grants that are, if biphasal, Malithi, this may be appropriate for you, where you want to have a grant that covers not only the development of materials about Cleopatra, but also the artistic side of that very interesting and great woman.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, nonprofit organizations of a great variety, film societies, historical parks, and so forth. Again, the program officer at your State Humanities Council or State Arts Council can advise you on possible organizations with whom to cooperate. The types of programs that are sponsored for the humanities include such things as book discussions and book festivals, teacher workshops to enhance the materials that teachers have for their classes in elementary and high school, seminars, critical and interpretive discussions of books and other materials, conferences, films, presentation of films, or actually creation of films in the case of some state humanities councils that have important historical content, oral histories. Again, some state councils support oral histories, some do not, so you need to clear this particular orientation of your project with your state humanity council. Online encyclopedias and resources. Texas has an enormous encyclopedia of Texas history that is online, that's several thousands of pages long and contains an extraordinary number of articles. And finally, as I mentioned before, youth or adult Chautauqua historical figure portrayals, where someone dresses, for example, as Benjamin Franklin or as Charles Darwin, and learns the viewpoint of that individual, and in some cases the writing of that individual, well enough to speak in a public meeting as though they were that person, bringing that individual's insights and points of view and so forth alive for an audience.
Mm-hmm.
What are the humanities grant types and size? There are many grants that range from $500 to $2,500, the cap on those being determined by that particular state's council. And these are appropriate for funding a speaker or renting a traveling exhibit. A number of the state humanities councils have fashioned exhibits that they can ship and make available as freestanding or wall exhibits for a variety of sites. You can get a mini grant to hire a humanities consultant when you are seeking to put together something large, such as the program that Dr. Asante mentioned about Cleopatra. You could utilize a mini grant to pay a consultant to come in and talk with you about some of the best ways to develop the material that is available on Cleopatra. You can use these mini grants to pay for the services of designers of exhibits, and you can also use them to pay for public programming, radio, television, and so forth, related to unexpected events, such as the earthquake in Haiti. Larger grants are available for such things as what they call community projects. And these are grants that range up to $20,000 each as an average. These include lecture or discussion series, seminars and conferences, discussions of films or series of films, interpretive exhibits, town discussions, I remember going to an evening-long discussion by a British don, Richard Swinburne, on his book called Is There a God? And the in the month prior to this, there had been a series of Saturday afternoon or evening readings at libraries around the city where this occurred, and folks would come there and read each week aloud and discuss one of the chapters. And then the culmination of this was an evening conference to which the entire population of that town was invited, at which Swinburne appeared. And he gave a talk and then took questions from the people that had been reading his book. Very powerful, and you had a whole community reading the same book. And finally, teacher workshops in which teachers are presented with materials they can take back to their classes to enhance what they're able to do with their students.
Mm-hmm.
There are also media project grants, again, up to $20,000 each, to support film, radio, or interactive programming related to the humanities. I recall going to the first screening of an hour-long film made about the period of time in South Texas of the transition from a basically Jim Crow society to a much more open society. And an individual had been located who had been quite an activist during that period of time and had had subsequent difficulties with mental diseases. But his story had caught the attention of a humanities scholar at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. And this individual facilitated putting together a film history of the opening of lunch counters and hotels and so forth in South Texas in the Houston, Galveston area, interviewing a number of the individuals who were by that time quite elderly in order to capture that kind of history that had so far not been well captured. These media project grants also can allow applicants to request for funds for any part of the project, including the scripting, the development, the production, the post-production, and in some cases, distribution and free public screening. So that's a very rich source of material and material support. What won't the humanities grants fund? Projects not related to the humanities, not too surprisingly. Grants to individuals, and this is in contrast to the Arts Council grants, which do make grants to individuals. I'll get to that in a moment. Or grants to particular narrowly defined groups, such as a particular political party or a particular church. Grants that have a political intent. They do not fund continuing projects and programs. Rather, they're, if you will, seed money for startup projects that then would go out and seek funding from other sources. You need to check the restrictions for your particular state council, as these differ from state to state. I'll take some more questions at this point. Anyone? Well, then let me turn to what is different about arts funding. As I said, humanities scholars are usually employed academically, and so they have other sources of income. Artists quite often are self-employed, employed through the sale of their works or other kinds of arrangements. It's also the case that performance organizations, such as orchestras, don't usually raise enough with ticket sales to cover their salaries and expenses. And these realities have led to the arts funding of individual artists and individual groups. Now, the types of arts grants include artist fellowships, arts and education residencies, tours. A performing group can apply for a grant to their state arts council that will enable them to tour the state and cover their travel and housing expenses as they bring their performance to different elements of the state. Arts grants include consultations for teacher training, curriculum development, and student assessment. A very interesting dimension of the type of arts grants includes master and apprenticeship relationships, which would pay a master artist to bring the teaching dimensions of his or her craft to a number of apprentices and provide support for both sides of that particular relationship. They also provide awards for literary and commissioned art, literary works and commissioned art, poetry and statues to commemorate various events or individuals. And they also support short-term residencies by artists at cultural institutions. But where do you get the ideas for applying for a grant in the humanities or in the arts? I would suggest going to the web pages of various state councils and reviewing recent grants for brief descriptions. In fact, the Texas Council for the Humanities has a sizable, I think it's about a 200-page manual that summarizes all of the grants that they've given over their 30 years of or so of existence. And it's a wonderful compendium of information that can stimulate your thinking about what might be done in your community, in your region, in your state by way of a project. And you can always ask your program officer whether such records are available. Look for ongoing programs such as Prime Time Family Reading Time. Now, this is a program that was initially conceived in Louisiana and has spread across the country. It involves encouraging families that are not particularly literate, or if literate, not particularly book reading families, to utilize the services of libraries under the guidance of humanities scholars to learn the techniques of storytelling to their children and to bring a series of carefully selected books into the family reading for common reading and discussion. Very interesting program. There is a program, ongoing program, that many of the councils have called RELIC, Readings in Literature and Culture. There are summer teacher workshops. Most councils publish magazines that are beautifully illustrated, that include articles by local scholars, and that provide an opportunity not only for acquisition of materials that you can use in various ways, but also a publication venue for things that you might have developed yourself. And finally, look for annual book fairs as places where your own publications can be offered to the public. Often book fairs will include chapters from various books from the state being read. I remember going to the Texas Book Fair and listening to chapters being read from works by Jim Lehrer, including his delightful work, The White Widow, and another work that he wrote about his father's being a bus driver and for Greyhound. So finally, I suggest you also talk to former and current grant recipients to get an idea of what they found to be marketable to their state councils, and talk about your ideas with people that have been successful in achieving state grants. So what do you do next? The two, I guess, most important things that I would draw to your attention is be aware of the deadlines for the applications of the particular type of grant that you're seeking. Many grants have a kind of rolling process within each of the state councils, so that if you apply for a mini grant, let's say, to fund the bringing in of a scholar to speak on a particular topic, say for, let's say, $1,000, you can probably get that, get a commitment from your council within a window of 4 to 6 weeks, so that if, let's say, you wanted the June 1st presentation, you would want to make your application in early April in order to have the funds available by the time you need them. For larger things, the lead time is roughly 4 and in some cases 6 months, so that you would have to have your application completed and submitted in multiple copies 6 months or so before that particular council meets to consider that size of an application. Another crucial first step, and I can't emphasize this too much, is to talk with the program officer of the particular council about your ideas. Program officers are paid to give away money and to do it in a way that produces excellent results, so that they are a major source of wisdom and guidance for you. I remember in the grants that we got through the Florida Council for the Humanities, we spoke with a program officer well ahead of a year in advance of what we wanted to do, and in fact discovered that our conception had some elements in it that had to be seriously rethought, and we decided to put off our program another year in order to prepare a better grant, and as a result, we prepared a grant that was much better conceived for the celebration of Darwin Day in 2009, whereas had we done it in 2008, we probably would have been rejected. So advance planning and utilizing the services of the program officer is a very good idea. Ask to see samples of similar grants. Some of them, and I've got some references to those online grants in the next couple of slides, but many state agencies will provide online the actual grants that were approved so that you can see what a grant application looks like and to what the kinds of things were that the council approved. You should also begin, if you have a sizable project that will involve more than the grant range of the grants from your state council, you should probably begin to support other funding and in-kind sources. Remember, you need to have at least one-to-one, and preferably three or four or more to one, dollars in-kind services or donations or other funding sources to the federal dollar. That's a requirement of virtually all of these grants. You should download the grant application and the guidelines from the website and become thoroughly familiar with them and begin to fill in the information that you have and look for the information that you don't have. For any scholar that you want to bring in as a participant, you have to have at least a truncated CV. You have to have a characterization of that individual and how his or her expertise addresses the content of the project that you're proposing. I would also want to say that your project doesn't have to be entirely humanities. We did a presentation on Darwin Day that included teacher workshops and scientific information that were not out of the humanities, but the humanities portion of our conference had to be that was funded with the State Humanities Council funds, had to clearly address humanities content. So we had a philosopher of science, Michael Roos, address the humanities issues that we were talking about, and then brought in other individuals for the more scientific content. And the State Humanities Council was satisfied with that, as long as we could show that their humanities dollars were going for the humanities content. You need to contact potential scholars or performers to determine their interest, their expected honoraria, their travel costs, their housing costs, and so forth. You need to locate a site for your event and to determine its costs, even if those costs are going to be donated, and maybe especially if they're going to be donated, because that helps contribute to your match requirements. And you need to locate support personnel, for example, American Sign Language translators, who can be available in case you have individuals who come that need or request sign language translation. And you need to submit a draft application early enough for feedback from your council program officer. Your later steps, it is possible to make changes in your program while the grant is underway, but you need to consult the grant officer for those changes, particularly if they have financial consequences. The successful grant will be funded in two phases, enough to cover your actual outlay of funds, and then a final payment after your final reports are filed. You will need an independent evaluator to attend your function and to file a written evaluation with your State Humanities Council. And you need to be sure that the funds are spent only as described in the approved grant. Otherwise, you might have to refund the funds, which is kind of awkward and not something that you want to have shouldered on you. Now, here's a sample humanities grant from the Primetime Family Reading Time. It's a grant that was given to become a site where the Primetime Family Reading Time program could actually be conducted in a community. So this would typically be a grant to a library and would enable the library to purchase the books for the individual families to take home week after week and read with their children, and to pay the honorarium for a humanities scholar that would lead discussions and assist families in developing their skills in exploring the content of those books in terms that would be familiar and illustrative of their family history. So here's a website where you can click there. And the second sample humanities grant that I have here is through a series of PDFs that accompany the materials that were sent to you. It's for the Darwin Day 2007 program. And three PDFs there include the cover page for the grant to give you an idea of what that looks like, the grant proper, which is several pages that include the narrative of the grant, the budget for the grant, the time frame. This was a program that was spread out over the day, and it indicated what was going on at each of the hours of the day-long celebration of Darwin's work. And finally, a brief, somewhat truncated curriculum vita of the humanities scholar, the one that was covered by the obligations of the Humanities Council to have a humanities scholar. And there were then other individuals who were scientists and educators and anthropologists and so forth whose work were included as we went through the day. There is a sample arts grant at in the next frame. It's a Philharmonic Orchestra grant, and you're welcome to look at that. And I guess I would want to break for questions at this point and ask if there's anyone else that has anything to ask. I'm going to have to change phones here because I'm running out of juice in one of my batteries. Can you still hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can still hear you. And remember to press 4-star to unmute yourself if you want to ask a question. And please press 4-star to mute yourself to minimize background noises.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I can still hear you. If there's someone speaking, I'm not hearing very well. Someone in the background? Well, let me encourage anyone who has a project in mind. Malifia Sante has mentioned one. I'd be happy to talk with him privately or through an email exchange about ways of developing that project and serve as an informal consultant on that project. If anyone else who's called in has a project or an interest in an arts or a humanities topic that they would like to explore one-on-one. Sometimes people don't like to have their ideas publicized widely, particularly if they're research-oriented. That's fine. I'll be happy to speak with you personally through my landline or my cell phone or through my email. That contact information is at the last frame of my PowerPoint.
This has been an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association.